sing the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all was lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he'll make that way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say.
Preached about my Jesus. How many songs have been sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he'll make that way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Can you mention that you love him, how you worship and adore him? When you can't see no way, he'll make that way. And can you mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made you? He loves you, so come to him today. He's been faithful to every promise he's ever made us. He loves us, and it's called Amazing Grace.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. He's every promise he's made, he's kept. He's been faithful to it. Amen. Take you to the places. Churches will let you down. Government will let you down. People will let you down. But God always keeps his promises. Thank the Lord for that. If you would take your Bible to Psalm 34, Psalm 34, and when you find your place there, as you're able to, if you please stand with me, and we'll read this passage together, Psalm 34. I'll start off reading the first verse. We're going to read verses 15 through 22. So I'll read verse 15, and I'd like you to pick up on 16 with me, and we'll read that together. I'll take the odd number, you take the even-numbered verses. Psalm 34, verses 15 through 22. Again, I'll read that first verse there, verse 15. You pick up with me, verse 16, and then we'll do that all the way to the end of the passage. Psalm 34, verse 15. The Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word and the reading thereof. We're asking that you meet with us this morning as we've come to your house. I ask that you would bless Pastor Becker, give him wisdom and power as he preaches to us, and then give us wisdom as we receive your word. Help us to change our lives according to it. We'll give you the praise and glory for what you do in the service this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated if you keep your Bibles open. Take your a moment and silence your phone if you have not already. That would be helpful and a blessing to all of us if you do that. I want to take one moment for a brief announcement. Next Sunday night, we had a special service coming up for a couple of reasons. And I lied, it's not really one announcement, it's three announcements wrapped up in one. I don't know if that's a preacher's saying or not. But next Sunday night is going to be a couple things. The last service, the going away service for Brother Isaiah Lockwood, he'll be heading on the deputation trail that next morning. And we're going to have a bit of a celebration that night. He preached this last Sunday night and presented his ministry, be in prayer for that. But next Sunday night also, we are going to have an ordination service for Brother Drew Brock. And the Lord brought Brother Drew here about 2.5 years ago now. And Brother Drew and Miss Caitlin served in New Hampshire, and they wanted to get to warmer weather. And so they were served out there for a few years as a youth pastor, assistant pastor, and really helping the church get that going. Been faithful servant of the Lord, and we have met as pastors and thoroughly questioned and interrogated him. I know, but really I'm looking forward to this as a church, and he's not going away somewhere. We're ordaining him as a preacher here and serving here, and so we're looking forward to that. So next Sunday night, you do not want to miss any service, but you don't want to miss that one. We do have church tonight as well. Don't miss this evening. So next week, the ordination, the going away service, and a dessert fellowship at the end. And you don't want to miss that part either. Psalms 34. Keep your Bibles open. Psalms 34. I don't know why I say that. Always keep your Bible open. Always use that in church. I don't know why you would come to church and not use the Bible. That's what we're here for. In Psalms 34, as we look at this passage today about the subject of the prayer of the righteous. The prayer of the righteous. I want to give you a bit of the setting of this psalm. David, as you know, was a young man, and he was a shepherd boy in the field. And Samuel the prophet came to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And all the sons went by, and they said, nope, not him, nope, not him. The Lord said, not him. And he got to the end of the line and said, there's none left. Lord, did you mess something up? The Lord has never made a mistake. It's our fault, not his. Amen. And the Lord said, nope, not one of them. And Samuel asked the strange question, do you have another son? Have you forgotten about your youngest child? Now, no parent has probably ever forgotten about their child before, but maybe all of us, maybe all the dads at least. And he was out in the field, brought him in and anointed him as going to be the next king of Israel. The Lord had refused Saul, and David was anointed to be the next king, although he was not king at that moment. And from that time forward, God was preparing David to be the next leader and king of Israel. Through a period of time that the Lord brought David, and he would play instruments for the harp for Saul, and Saul's anger would grow against David. During this time, David would go to the field and bring food for his brothers, which were in the army there, and they were in battle against the Philistines, and they went out there and saw everyone hiding. And they weren't hiding for a surprise attack. They were just simply hiding. And Saul and Goliath is out there defying the armies of God. And David came out with that famous, powerful statement and question, there is there not a cause? Everyone needs to have a cause in life. Amen? And not a personal cause, but a cause that comes from the Lord. And he went out there and said, if none of you are going to fight him, I'll go fight him. And they said, you can't do it, but go ahead. Don't you love how they did that? You can't fight him, but why don't you go ahead and try? You know, he's just a little brother, so if we lose him, what's the big deal, you know? So they sent him out there. Saul's armor didn't fit him, and, you know, Saul had rejected him and thought, you know, what are you doing? And his brothers had rejected him, and then even Goliath had mocked him and said, you know, who have they sent out here for me to kill you and to feed you to the birds today? And he went out there and said, I don't come to you with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. That should put fear in the heart of anyone that does not believe in God. I come to you in the name of the Lord. You better turn to God, or you better run and hide. But the Lord knows where you're hiding, though. And he went out and he defeated Goliath that day in the name of the Lord. From that day forward, Saul was jealous against David. He stole some of his glory, if you will. some of the praise that Saul was wanting. And the women would sing and dance and said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Now, David had not killed his tens of thousands, but 9.5-foot giant would seem that that was as tens of thousands of people maybe. And Saul's jealousy began to rage against David. And he would throw a javelin trying to kill David a number of times. It came to the point where David was supposed to be at the meal with Saul, and he wasn't there, and Jonathan and David had talked about that. Saul's son Jonathan, best friend of David, and they said, okay, however Saul reacts at the dinner with you not here, we'll see how his spirit is towards you, if you need to leave or if you stay. And when that happened, Saul's anger was kindled, and so Jonathan goes out to the field, and he goes and tells him, you have to leave. David goes running for his life from the king and the king's army. He's running for his life and fearing for what the king may do to him. This is back in 1 Samuel chapter number 21. And David ends up going to Achish, king of Gath. And as he goes to Achish, king of Gath, and as he goes there, Achish said, is this not David? Is this not the one they sang and danced about? And all of a sudden, David feared for his life again. This is where we pick up in this chapter. He feared for his life to where the Bible says, he made himself as a madman. He scratched at the door and spittle and spit came down his face. And he acted as if he was a madman for fear that they identified that he was David and delivered him back over to King Saul to have him executed. David then went from Achish, and he said, get him out of here. This couldn't be David. And he did a pretty good job of acting there at the time. And he went down to the cave of Adullam. Went to this cave of Adullam, a very sad and a dark place in David's life. And as he went there, the Bible says everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, they gathered themselves to David, about 400 men. They gathered together, and this was not what you would say is the highlight of David's life. This wasn't on David's journey of places to visit, the cave of Adullam. That wasn't the highlight of where he wanted to go on his vacation time, if you will. He was hiding for his life, fearing to be killed by the king and to be found out his identity by others and delivered over to King Saul. As you see this, I want you to look down here in verse number 15 again. Think about where David is at this time. It says this, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil and cut off the remembrance of them from the face of the earth. And God help those that are seeking to do evil. And God is the judge of all the earth. Amen? He is the judge of all the earth. The Bible says in verse number 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they shall hate the right, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Aren't you thankful how God looks out for his children? Amen. Have I mentioned that I love him, that I worship and adore him? He's been faithful, hasn't he, church? He's been faithful no matter the situation in life where God has brought you from. Just David had served God. He kept the sheep. He obeyed his father. He went and fought the giant. He went and played the harp for King Saul. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He was not perfect, but he did what God had asked for him to do. And what did serving God get him? Running for his life. Fearing for the next javelin that would come his way as King Saul and his army went to hunt him down as a dog. Going from caves and from city to city, and as he went to find a place of refuge, Although it seemed all had failed, God had not failed him, not even once. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto the cry. This psalm here really centers around the subject of prayer. But really more than that, I believe that the subject of the psalm is really about the prayer of the righteous. The prayer of the righteous. We see that a couple of times here in this passage, and it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. In verse number 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. It talks several number of times about the Lord caring for the righteous, and the Lord bringing judgment upon the wicked. I'm going to give you a few simple thoughts today, just a challenge about this prayer of the righteous. First of all, we see the troubles of the righteous. The troubles of the righteous. Have you ever gone through troubles in your life? You ever faced some difficulty? Ever felt as if everyone was against you and everything was going against your way, and it seemed that you have been running from those doing harm? But when that's the case, you run closer to the Lord. When you run from this world, you run closer to God. I want you to see the troubles, as we have already looked at some of those before, but let's go back in this psalm in verse number 4. Psalm 34, verse number 4, it says, I sought the Lord. That's a good place to be, isn't it? When you don't know where to go and who to turn to and who to talk to or even what to say, you just turn to God. It says in verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. From all my fears. Now, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. But that doesn't mean that we don't enter a place of fear in our life ever, does it? Everyone faces a place of fear of what may be something that God has called for you to do. Maybe troubles that have come your way, and there's some fear involved, and maybe what God has brought into your life and the troubles that David had brought him to a place of fear. In verse number 6, it says this, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. You could turn that verse around and put your name there. I'm that poor man that calls out to God that is rich. And the Bible says, and that poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. David was in a place of fear in his life, but also David was in a place of troubles. The troubles that seemed to be in David's life on every side. David always had an enemy, a battle, a place of troubles really throughout his whole life. The troubles that he had of fear and the troubles of difficulty that God brought into his life. The Bible talks about a number of times, but maybe not specifically mentioning, about the wicked, of those that were not seeking after God, but they were seeking to do evil and harm to David's life. See, everyone's going to go through those times of troubles. Everyone's going to go through the time of difficulty in that valley of the shadow of death, the trials that God has brought into your life. And you may say, why does this happen? You may say, Lord, when is this going to leave? God, what are you trying to do in my life? And when God brings troubles into your life, the best thing that you can do is take those troubles and say, God, I don't know what to do with them. It may be a wheelbarrow full of troubles. It may be a carload of troubles. But either way, you bring those troubles to God and say, God, I don't know what to do with them. Would you please help? I don't know who else to bring them to, and no one seems to have the answers. I can't do anything on my own, but God, I know I can bring my troubles to you, whether he's feigning to be a madman or hiding in a cave, that God hears the prayer of the righteous. Then when you don't know where to turn and who to go to or what is happening in the world around us, you turn to God and say, God, I need your help. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. And even the troubles in your life, I know at times it is hard to accept or believe or understand, unless if it is because of sin that we have brought into our life, that God has allowed the troubles to come into your life. You say, but why would God do that? Because many times, where do the troubles bring us closer to? To the Lord. the time of the greatest troubles in your life are the times that you probably draw the closest to the Lord. You have a choice to make. Troubles and difficulty don't guarantee that someone's going to get back and right with God. You know that, right? I was talking with someone recently and said, I know what I need to be doing. I know where I need to go. And they knew that their life was going the wrong direction. And they said, Pastor, I know what I need to do. I didn't say a word. That's God speaking to their heart. Troubles coming into your life don't guarantee that you're going to draw closer to the Lord. But you have a choice in that moment, don't you? You have a choice. Am I going to draw closer to God or am I going to get further away from the Lord? God had allowed some troubles to come into David's life to grow him into the man that God wanted him to be the king that God wanted him to train him as this man, as the Bible says, after God's own heart. See, God's refining process is working in each and every one of our lives where you'd say, God, I wouldn't want this or I wouldn't choose that, but God, help me to learn what I need to in the midst of the troubles. We see the troubles of the righteous throughout this psalm, but then I want you to look down here at the prayer of the righteous. Four different times, I want you to look at this here. In verse number 4, Psalms 4, verse number 4, it says this, I sought the Lord, and He, what's the next word? He heard me and delivered me of all my fears. He sought the Lord, first of all. May we get back to the place in our lives personally that we get back to seeking after God. Too many times we're using God as the escape route, the lifeboat, that, Lord, when I'm sinking, then I'm going to jump on the raft. I'm going to jump in only when things have gotten really bad, God. Then I'm going to seek after you. You ever been there in your life where you thought I should have been seeking after God and God dropped the floor out from underneath me and then I realized, God, I should have been seeking you all along. I'm sorry, God. May we truly seek after the Lord. And when you seek after God, there's a promise. The Bible says, and He heard me. Isn't that a blessing to know that when you call out to God that He hears you? He hears you. That God hears your prayer just as much as He hears my prayer. Now the Bible says that God heareth the prayer of the righteous. There's the wicked and the iniquity that separates us from God. If we've walked away from God, either salvation to draw closer to Him to be in His family or to get things right with God, if we've let sin build up in our lives, you draw close to God. You seek after God and God will hear you. And He delivered me from all my fears. This prayer of the righteous, first of all, he sought after the Lord. But in verse number 6, he cried unto the Lord. Look at verse number 6. It says, the poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Now, many times that word of crying, again, shows the insinuation that he's gone through some troubles in his life. You're not crying because everything is good. Maybe there's the tears of joy, but the crying here is because of the sorrow that God has brought into his life. And he sought the Lord, but then he cried and he poured his heart out to God. Aren't you thankful that when you go to God, you can just open up your heart to the Lord that already knows, the Lord that already sees, and that he understands what you're going through. He who is born, Jesus Christ, went through sorrows and bore our pain. He knows what we are going through. And you cry out to God, and God hears the prayer and the cry of the righteous, those calling out to Him. That cry insinuates a begging and a pleading to get a hold of the ear of God. I've got nowhere else to turn but God, but I have you. He sought the Lord. He cried to the Lord. But then we see this in verse number 15, that he was righteous before the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. I don't know if you caught that in the last verse. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Verse number 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. Verse number 15, it says, and His ears are open unto their cry. Are you getting the idea that God wants to hear from His children? Are you getting the idea that God wants you to call out to Him in prayer and cry out to the God of this universe? May we get back to prayer in this country. Many times we wait till devastation comes and the bottom has fallen out and say, God, I've got nothing else to do. I guess now I should pray. What about the rest of the days? Do you only call out to God when it's an emergency, or do you call and cry out to God? Because God hears your prayer every single day. Every single day, He is listening. His ears are open unto the prayer of the righteous. Verse number 17, again, for the fourth time that God hears the prayer of the righteous. It says this in verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord, what? Heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Amen? Aren't you thankful that we have a God that hears and that heals and that can help you along your way when you pray and you call out to God, that God hears you. He hears you. Church, may we get serious about the subject of praying and getting a hold of the throne of God. Prayer is probably the most neglected tool and weapon in the Christian's belt or arsenal. It's so neglected and left aside. And we go, oh, I should pray. And sometimes we throw out a 2-cent prayer and we expect a $1 million answer from the Lord. He was righteous. He sought the Lord. He cried out to God, and God heard his prayer. Are you calling out to God today, Christian? Are you serious about your walk with the Lord and spending time with God? Troubles had come into his life. You could relate, couldn't you? And then the troubles came, but then the troubles brought him to a place of prayer. Just as Moses did, and God said, would you come to the cleft of the rock? I want to come and spend some time with you. And God's glory passed by Moses, and Moses' face shone because he talked with God, and God talked to Moses. And when Moses went down the mountain, he dropped that veil on his face because it shone so much that he had been with God. Church, may we get alone with God. So much of the Christian life is about a show. And our light should shine, and people should see that you're a Christian and hear your testimony, but they should see and know that you have been walking with God. The prayer of the righteous that God hears. But then lastly today, we see the blessing of the righteous. In verse number 9, it says this. I want you to look at this today. In verse number 9, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. The Bible says, there is no want to them that fear Him. You follow after God. There is no good thing that He withhold from you when you follow after the Lord. Amen. The blessings that come from God. You know, when you do right, God gives you blessings. You know, children, let me give you a little secret here to our teenagers, our children in the room. When you obey, you listen to your parents with a good spirit and maybe even go over and above, you know what your parents want to do? They say, you know what I want to do? I want to bless you. Can I tell you that? It's a secret. You don't know it, but I'm letting you in on the secret. They say, I want to go and take you somewhere nice and buy you something, make you a special meal. I want to do something extra for you because you have shown your favor and your obedience to me. And when you follow after the Lord and you seek after Him, there is no want to them that fear Him. No want, that God takes care of your needs. What a blessing. Look down in verse number 10. It says this. I want you to look at this verse. This verse captured me as I was reading it. It says this. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Think about the lions. The king of the jungle, right? What's the one thing you don't want to hear in the jungle? That roar of the lion. All right, unless if it's behind bars. You ever seen the videos and you've got a lion or a gorilla and you get that piece of glass or plexiglass, whatever it is, and they go running and charging at it and they just stand there. I think, you're foolish. Don't stand there. That's a big lion or ape on the other side that wants to come and eat you. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Look at this. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. What a blessing. Look at that. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You look around, you think, I don't have everything that I want. No, but you have everything that God wanted to give to you. Amen. Many times we look around, well, I wish I had that, and I wish I had that, and your Amazon cart is as full as can be. But you look around and you say, God, I've been blessed, and there's no good thing that you've withheld from me, because God's been good. Amen? Even in the cave, even faking to be a madman, that he's not withheld a good thing from David, even in that moment of time, that God is good. Psalms 34, verse number 21 and 22, we'll finish with these verses. I think I've said that a couple times. I'll try not to lie again in church. In verse number 21, evil shall slay the wicked, but they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. None of them that trust in the Lord shall be desolate, deprived of inhabitants or desert. God's not going to leave you in that desert place. It may seem for a time that God has left you without, but hold on just a little bit. Hold on a little bit, because God's coming through. Amen? You say, God, but the deadline came. But God has a different deadline than you and I have, doesn't he? You thought, God, but I thought it was going to happen by now and it was going to come through. God said, hold on a minute. You stay faithful. Stay righteous. You keep seeking after God. You keep crying out to God. The book of James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Church, may we get back to this place, first of all, of being righteous. Righteous. In a world that is full of so much wickedness, may we get back to righteousness. Get back to holiness. Living for God, following God's word, may we get back to righteousness. Do you know that you're saved? Do you even know that you're a child of God? There's many today that are trying to please the Lord with their righteous living, but God is not pleased with our goodness. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. He is pleased when he sees the blood of Jesus Christ that's forgiven us of all of our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Have you called out to God by faith? That's how we are made righteous in God's sight. When you're saved and you are forgiven, not only do we need to get back to righteousness, but we need to get back to prayer. We must get back to prayer. Christian, get back on your knees and spend time with God in prayer. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Marcia. I'm working on it, all right? May we get back to prayer. Moms and dads, may you get on your knees and just pray. Pray for your family. Pray over your children. Pray over your house. Grandparents, pray for your kids, your grandchildren. Pray for your country. Pray for this country. I don't know where our country is going. I don't know where the world's going. But God's in control and God's coming back. And I know where I'm going someday. But man, where's the world going to? I don't know. We better get back on our knees in prayer. That God would direct our leaders, our country, that God would protect. And I pray that through all this, that God points people back to the Savior. May we get back to seeing the blessings that come from the Lord. That God heals, that God hears, that God protects, and that God cares for his children. And we get back to realizing that God blesses those that live for him. Too many times we're looking over on the other side of the fence thinking that the world has it all. But you're so deceived by the devil to think that the world has it all, when what God has given to you is everything good that God wanted for you to have. That doesn't mean that you don't pray and ask, have prayer needs and ask for God to intervene and God to bless and provide. But you pray and you seek after God, and God will take care of you.